So we're in a teaching series, and it's actually called Community Life, where people shake hands. How many people shook a hand today? Good for you. Those who didn't raise your hand. Brianna will chastise you later to keep you humble. But we're in a series in 1 John, and we just continued that even through Easter, and that's what we're wanting to do now. What did we talk about last week? Did anybody remember? Was anybody here? Spiritual authority of the apostles, yeah, that was in there. What else? Jesus, good. Love and obedience. It ended up being more, I kind of got Tanya, she said, your teaching was entitled love, but it was all about obedience. I thought, well, yeah. And then Craig said, try to separate those two. I was like, interesting. So we talked about love and we talked about obedience, and John is just nailing it on the head. I called this community life primarily because I want this to relate to how the body functions to one another. But a really good title would have been Walking in the Light, meaning that there's a dark and there's a light. And where this dark is, God's not. And where this light is, God is. Okay? So we could have totally named it that. And so John continues to unpack. John, an apostle of Jesus, disciple of Jesus, continues to unpack these things that we've learned. So last week we said that our love was perfected by our... I quit. I am not an effective communicator. Our love is perfected by our... I really quit. I thought you guys would have a time to catch up. Our love is perfected by our obedience, is what John was saying. And then he goes on to say, if you hate your brother, man, you don't have this figured out. And what John's talking about here isn't... what John's talking about here is actually within the body. Okay? Within the community, within Whitewater Christian Church is what John's really getting at here with his letters. He's wanting us to see that, man, if you claim Christ and you hate your brother within this body, you don't have it figured out. Now, there's also a lot in the Bible about hating people outside of the body. That's not good either. But John specifically is talking about what happens here in this community, in this body, in our community with one another here at Whitewater Christian Church. And he goes on to say, after he gets done talking about if you hate your brother, you don't have it figured out. You just don't have it. He says this, and it's just this, these are duh statements. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation because I think it cleans it up just a little bit for everybody. John says this, I am writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I am writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle with the evil one. I have written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts and you have won your battle with the evil one. So I find this interesting. I had actually originally, when I was fleshing out our teaching calendar, I had skipped that entire chunk. Because I thought, why do you need to teach on that? How do you need to teach on this? How do you teach on this? I could have pulled out some Greek words for you. That would have been fun. No one cares. Good. No one cares about Greek. You have something to say about that? You should. Oh, please, please. I know that's not true. So I wanted to skip this because I thought these are just duh statements. And all week I've been wrestling around with these duh statements and reading them 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 some more. Trying to pull out what, God, is the point of this. Why would John write this? Why would John be repetitious? And I think it was because these people forgot. We had a Bible study. We have a Bible study at my home on Thursday nights. I think we had 23 people in my house. It was ridiculous. In a good way. It was good. It was good. But we had this Bible study, and it was interesting because we're all reading through Ephesians. This is my shameless plug for our Bible study, by the way. If you want to come this Thursday, it'll be at 5 o'clock. Not really. We're going to be discussing Ephesians 5, is what I meant to say, at 7 o'clock at our place. And the questions that we answer are, did we learn something new? What did we learn about man? What did we learn about God? And what does God want us to do with this? Those are the four things that we all go around the room and we just answer. And it's a very organic, very beautiful time. And as we're all reading these words, as we're all going through Ephesians 4 last week, we're all pulling out this incredible stuff that it's not the first time we've read it. It's not the first time we've heard it. But it's almost new. It's almost, wow, what is this? This is, oh, we're supposed to live like that. We even had I had a bold idea. I said, what if we just read Ephesians 4 every day of the year for this next year, and we tried to focus on that kind of a lifestyle? How radically different would our life be? How radically different would the life be in the body that we're around? And so then we come to this passage and we come to 1 John, and he's saying in 2 verses 12 through 14, the reason I'm writing you, because you are God's children. You may have forgotten that. The reason I'm writing you is because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I am writing you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ, who existed from the beginning. I am writing you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle with the evil one. I have written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ, who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts, and you have won your battle with the evil one. See, what we often forget, I think, and what we don't understand is that once we have understood Jesus and who he is, that should change a lot of things. Right? We kind of talked about this last couple verses and chapters that we've been teaching about. There should be a change. There should be an acknowledgement. There should be an ownership of this new life, this thing called Christianity, this thing called being a disciple. And so many times I read words and I file them in my head, and I use them when other people are in trouble, and I use them when I need to give good counsel and wise counsel to others that are not myself. You see where I'm going with this? I use them because I do believe them, but I don't use them when it applies to me all the time. I don't use them and I don't recall these things. You know what? These sin struggles that I have aren't necessary. Why? Because they've been forgiven through what Jesus did. For those of us who know Jesus and have been with Jesus and know the faith, He's writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I think it's easy to forget that as you grow in your faith, isn't it? Sounds kind of stupid that you would grow in your faith and forget God. But I think our faith grows in a way in which God never intended sometimes, and we forget what's actually important. And we forget what God actually is and who God actually is, and we start forming our own theology about what Scripture is and forming our own theology on what God requires. And then we try to make people fit within that. And he's saying, no, I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know, you do know Christ who existed from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle with the evil one. Anybody young in your faith feel that way? Yeah, exactly. I am writing to you because you have won your battle over the evil one. Isn't that a lifelong battle? I'd like to say it is, yeah. But the battle's been won. That's the misunderstood part. That's the thing that we don't come back to. We say it's a lifelong battle, and I do believe it is 100%. But the battle's been won. How we adapt to that battle, how we continue on in life and bring grace and mercy and all the things that God is asking us to bring. But the battle's been done. I mean, Jesus did all the hard work for us, right? But sometimes we live as if he didn't. I had a conversation with a woman this week about a friend of hers who feels if she doesn't work hard enough, God will stop listening to her. If she doesn't do the right things, if she doesn't try hard enough. And this is a woman who professes faith. This is a woman who professes to know Jesus. But if she doesn't work hard enough, man, God's just going to shut her out and not listen to her. And I sat there over coffee and I thought, man, that is such a misrepresentation. Somewhere along the line, this has been taught and drilled into this woman's head. Somewhere along the line, this stuff has been bought and owned. And so instead of living a life of freedom, knowing that the hard work has been done, knowing that the sin has been eradicated through what Jesus did, knowing that her battles have been won through what Jesus did, she's trying to fight those battles. She's trying to make something happen that she can't. I do that. Do you? Man, come on. So here we run this race. We run this danger of being just like these people that John writes this letter to. And so I read these reminders and I think how stupid, I think how repetitious, how not teachable, how not preachable. And I think, no, Whitewater, I need reminded of this. I think, no, Whitewater, you need reminded of this. Not only reminded, but own. Not only own, but live a life that reflects this. I have written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. And then he repeats himself. I've written to you, mature in the faith, because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I've written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. Do you feel you're strong if you're young in the faith? Can I tell you, I feel young in the faith? 2008 was my turning point to where I really gave everything up. Well, before I started to give everything up. I still hold on to some great stuff because I'm really cool. Just like you. Keep me humble. You're not cool. Thank you. But 2008 was my starting point, and what's interesting is because when I said the words, you know, I believe in Jesus, and I meant it, I 100% meant this faith thing. I 100% was broken for my sin. I 100% understood that portion of it, but the other portions of what it looked like to live, what it looked like to breathe, what it looked like to walk, what it looked like to own and be obedient, to perfect my love, that stuff came super late in life for me. So within the last 6.5, 7 years, maybe? That's what's happening with me. These are good reminders. You are strong. Why are we strong? Because you're spiritual giants and you have a lot of knowledge? It all goes back to Jesus, right? It all goes back to everything that he did. It all goes back to everything that he made possible for you and me, right? This is a nod. Are the lights too bright? Can you not see me nodding? Everything that's possible, everything that's made known here, everything that's done here is made possible by what Jesus did, by this beautiful system that God created to reconcile us, his creation, back to himself. And so we have these beautiful reminders. We are strong. God's word lives in our hearts. And you have won your battle with the evil one. There's a phrase that has said, I cannot remember the name. If anybody knows the name of this quote, the guy who made this quote, please shout it out. But it's a phrase that says, you are educated beyond your own obedience. Anybody know who quoted that? I quoted it, but anybody know who originated it? Look it up, please, and then shout it out. We are educated beyond our own obedience, and that's what I found inspiring. That's what I found amazing as we read through Ephesians 4 last week in my home of, these are things that I know. Why are these not things that I live? These are things that I know and have read. Why are these not things that I live? And I put some of these things in the yeah, but category. Yeah, but God, you know, your grace can't be that good. Your mercy can't be that merciful. Your sacrifice couldn't have been that covering. And then I start living a life operating out of that system instead of the system that we see written about here. And so white water... These are the things that Scripture says about people back then, and I believe they're 100% applicable now. Do you? John Maxwell, the coffee guy. He was a smart man. That's actually Maxwell's house, isn't it? Maxwell House, yes. John Maxwell, yeah, he's the guy that said that. We are educated far beyond our own obedience. And so this is the challenge. This is it. I want to speak as plain as possible. Will you be obedient to what Scripture says about you? That's it. I should have just opened with that and saved you a lot of time. Will we live a life that reflects what we see in Scripture? Scripture is not saying you're perfect. Scripture is not saying that you will not have hardship in your life. Scripture is not saying that you won't be disobedient at some point in your life. In fact, we just read something about do not sin, but if you do, there's one who advocates for you and continues to advocate for you. His name's Jesus, right? So will you, with me, live a life of obedience to what we see here? So a lot of times you hear people say, you need to read the word daily. Can I tell you that doesn't happen in my everyday world? Shocker. you guys can all have a special meeting to fire me after this. But this word reading, the reason why it's said is because these are all reminders of what you should be and who you should be and what you should own. It's not a rigid thing. It's not a... When you make it rigid, it takes the beauty out of it. When you make it about remembering who you are, who you should be, who God is, who God wants you to be, that's beautiful. So will you live a life of obedience? Will you live a life of remembrance? Will you live a life of just digging into the Word with me in this community? What's cool is this is just a setup for what's going to be talked about next week. John is a smart guy. He knows how to write letters. A little repetitious, but whatever. But this will be a setup for what you're going to hear about not conforming, right? You're going to hear Craig Johnson. Don't be fooled. He looks a lot like me. People think he's my dad. We actually had one guy fooled in the elevator this last week, and we told him that I was his dad, and he believed it. So I really felt really encouraged after that. It kept me humble. Yes. But he's going to come, and John is setting all this up to just talk even further about these talking points. But even as he continues to hammer on these things of do not be conformed to the world, do not love the world, do not be these things, he's telling you that you have won the battle by claiming Jesus. You've won the battle by claiming Christ. You do know who God is. What you need to do is live it. Right? In Bible study, we call it the doing of the thing. What is the doing of the thing, we ask on Thursday nights? And I'm just going to start using that as my answer. Live it. It'll cover everything. It'll be good. So the doing of the thing is owning this stuff. The doing of the thing is reading this repetition about who you are and going far beyond that. Quit reading it. Own it. Live it. I know it's hard because I lived a long time just reading it and not owning it and not living it. I'm trying to catch up now. So I know that it's not too late for you. There's hope for you. Matt, there is hope for you. He giggled nervously. So if there's hope for me, there's hope for you, and we're going to do this together in community. Amen. Amen. Let me read it to you again. Let me put white water. I'm writing you to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I am writing to you, white water, because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in the faith here at Whitewater because you have won your battle with the evil one. I have written to you, Whitewater, who are God's children because you know the Father. I have written to you, Whitewater, who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I have written to you, Whitewater, who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your heart and you have won your battle with the evil one. So God, don't let these words just go. Don't let these words just escape out of our mind. Don't let these words just escape as we leave this place and we go to lunch. Don't let these words escape throughout our week when our marbles have no bag to hold them. That is a weird thing. But Caleb, so applicable. God, may these words not escape who we are. Not who we say we are, but who you say we are. May these repetitious words that we read from John about what Christ did, about who Christ is, and about our need for a Savior not escape our minds. God, you come for the sick. You come for the poor. You don't come for the arrogant or the proud. And God, you continue to bring sick and poor people here to Whitewater. But as John says, they are made strong. They have overcome the evil one as they claim you. God, may they own that. May we own that. Those of us who have known you for a long time, may we own the grace that you talk about. God, for those of us that have known you a long time and need corrected, God, I pray for that. I pray for that correction that only comes, can only come from you. God, for those of us that have yet to know who you are, have yet to claim these promises, have yet to say yes to your salvation, to your conquering of death, to your way of life as it was originally intended for us, God, I pray that these words sink deep. God, as they seek you, your scripture says they will find you. So God, for Whitewater, for us together, for this community, for this body, for this living, breathing thing, God, make us bold in our obedience. Make us bold in our love. God, and may we always remember that we are strong because of Jesus. We are saved because of Jesus. We have overcome evil because of Jesus. God, we pray all these things in your name, and we thank you just for an opportunity to be together again as a body, as a community. And I pray that you grow our community. That you grow the bonds of this community together and deeper. God, that we can change the world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I would encourage you to look at your bulletins. I would encourage you to see anything going on during the midweek stuff, because you need reminded just like I do. And this midweek stuff where we get together and we discuss things as a community is beautiful, and it will help. I believe it. I'm watching it. I'm seeing it. So get involved. We'd love to have you. Grace and peace, guys.